I love the lyrics in that song. It's the testimony for all of us. There is nothing so dirty that He can't make worthy. That's the story of Easter. Jesus told a story. It's found in Matthew's Gospel, the 13th chapter, verse 44. He said, "Again, the heaven, or the kingdom of heaven, is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and sells all that he has to buy that field." This is one of seven parables in this one chapter alone. Jesus using simple stories to describe the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And this one is the treasure hidden in a field. Have you ever wished you could discover something so valuable that you would be willing to sell everything you have in order to buy your discovery? That's the story Jesus told about the treasure hidden in a field. A man was working as a laborer in somebody else's field. Perhaps he had been working in that field for days, weeks, months, or years. He was a common laborer. He didn't even own the field. And he probably got up on this day, just like he had gotten up on all the other days, and rolled out of bed, got dressed, and everything he did was mechanical. Little did he know that the day that started like every other day would be the greatest day of his life because of a discovery he would make. That's the story Jesus told. I have a story I will tell. A certain man went to church one Sunday. He frowned when the organist missed a note during the opening hymn. He gave a mean stare at two teenagers talking to each other when the congregation was in prayer. During the scripture readings, he kept looking impatiently at his watch. When the collection basket was passed, he felt that the usher was watching to see how much he gave. During the sermon, he felt mighty pleased with himself when he caught the preacher making a slip of the tongue. Done that. He was tight-lipped during all of the music service, and as he slipped out of the side door during the closing hymn, he muttered to himself, "That was terrible. What a bunch of clods. Never again." Another man went to the same church on that same Sunday, and he was edified by the organist's moving rendition of "Amazing Grace." He marveled at the sight of a father exchanging hugs with his little daughter that was draped over his shoulder. He had but one thought when the collection basket was passed: "Some of what I give in this offering will be used for world missions. God, I hope I'm giving enough. I wish I could give even more." He listened attentively to the scripture readings, which spoke of God's incredible love for the human family. He heard something in the sermon that helped him with a question that had bothered him for a long time. He enthusiastically joined in the singing of the closing hymn of praise. And as he left the church, he said to himself, "How good it is to be here and to share in the experience of the presence of God." Both men had gone to the same church on the same Sunday. Why was each one's experience of the same place so different? Could it be that each had found exactly what they were looking for? Two men at the same place, walking through the same experience, and yet one is utterly disappointed and frustrated, and the other was delighted and filled with joy because of a discovery he had made. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid and sells all that he has to buy that field. The story I just told of the two men at the same church service proves the point that one man's trash can be another man's treasure. Two people can look at the same thing and one will discover a treasure while the other will walk away clueless and unaffected. How sad it is to walk away from a field having never discovered the treasure that was right there where you were all along. Some have lost their marriages because they did not discover a treasure. Some have lost their families, their children, or other relationships. Some have lost their jobs, their careers, their health, and their fortune because they did not realize their real treasure was right there with them all along until it was too late. There it was right there, but it was covered, and they had never discovered it, never uncovered it. A lot of treasure is covered with layers, and each layer has to be peeled back until finally you can see the treasure clearly. Now, how can this parable of the treasure hidden in a field serve as an Easter message? There are two interpretations I will offer to you this morning about this parable. The first one is God considers us the treasure, and he gave up all that he had to purchase us. The Bible says that the field is the world. So God scanned throughout the face of the earth in search of treasure. And when he found us in the earth, he said, "That's the treasure. I want to give up everything to purchase." And he did. He gave up his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God considers us the treasure in the world, and he paid a great price for us by sending his Son. The Bible says in the King James Version, he gave up all that he hath. That's how valuable we are to God. You can tell the value of a thing by the price that was paid for it. God found in us something worth the equivalent of everything else he has. Now, that should bring healing to many people today who struggle with low self-esteem. You think you're of such small value, you're not important to other people, and not important, certainly, to God. Oh, he would differ with you. He saw such treasure in you before you legally belonged to him. We were born in sin, born under the curse of sin. Hell was our eternal future. That was the way it would have been, except God gave all that he hath, his only begotten Son, to die for us so that God could buy us back and we could be his. The story of the gospel is what we're celebrating, and I love to tell it. We lived in Latvia for a year, and they had not heard much of the gospel during communism for many years. And so I shared this story briefly many, many times that year in public buildings that had used to be, that had been the Soviet Union, communism. had ruled their land. Now, high schools were open, and they were asking me, the American, to come and talk to them. And the principal would always say this to me. They'd get all the students together. I had a translator with me. Hundreds, every time I spoke, of high school students. And the principal would always say, tell us two things. Tell us about America. And tell us the truth about God. In public schools in what had been Russia. We spent our year there. It was a wonderful year. Then we came back and I saw a bumper sticker on a car here in America that said, America has kicked God out of our schools. Russia has let him in. And I told the story about how God created everything that there is, and it was all good. There was nothing bad and nothing evil in the world. That was God's original plan. And the cream of the crop, the best and the highest of his creation, he saved for last, and that was the man Adam. And the difference between Adam and the animals that had previously been created is Adam had a spirit that made him capable of fellowshipping with God, because God is a spirit. And Adam was given a wife, Eve, in the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden was paradise on earth. It was so much like heaven. The earth was so much like heaven that God felt comfortable every day leaving heaven and coming to walk with Adam and Eve in the earth. All of that changed when Adam and Eve reached for the one thing that was forbidden. It was an act of disobedience and rebellion against God. And that one single act changed everything. Now, God, being a holy God, could not fellowship with a sinful man. Fellowship was broken between God and man. And it broke the heart of God. Man immediately knew he was a sinner now, and he reached for leaves to hide behind the complex of sin, the curse of sin. God was no longer comfortable walking in the earth with man, but God never gave up on us. It's the story of the gospel. God established a covenant with Moses, with Abraham, with Israel, with other tribes, with other people, with other prophets. The Old Testament is filled with one attempt right after another, God establishing a covenant with a man or with a people. And in essence, God was saying, I still want to be your God, and I still want you to be my people. I will offer another covenant. If you will only do this much, God said, I will do the rest, and I'll claim you as my own again. But every covenant failed in the Old Testament because man had too much to do with it. And man is a covenant-breaking man, and God is a covenant-keeping God. So the Old Testament, thousands of years, and every covenant failed. And finally, this is the beauty of the gospel on Easter Sunday. Finally, God said, I'm still not going to give up on my creation. I still want fellowship with humanity. So I'm going to make one more covenant. The writer of Hebrews says it is a better covenant. God said, this covenant will be an everlasting covenant. I will never need to reintroduce or to replace this covenant because this covenant is fail-proof. God said, I will send my son to die for the sins of the world. And his death will pay the sin debt of every man and woman that's ever born. My son will do everything necessary for this covenant to work. Man will have nothing to do with it at all. The only thing man will have to do to enjoy this everlasting covenant is believe on my son. And God said in Romans, I will give every man and woman that's ever born enough faith to do that. This is the new covenant, the everlasting covenant. And God gave us his son so that we could be restored in our relationship with him forever. Now, God could have said to the devil about Carl, devil, he's yours, you can have him. God could have said that about you. Devil, she's yours, you can have her. But instead, God said, I will pay whatever the price so Carl can be mine. He paid it all. We are the body of Christ. To get an idea of how valuable you are to God, ask yourself, how valuable is your body to you? We are his body. We are the treasure he saw in the world. And he said, I will give all that I have to purchase the world so that I can get the treasure I have discovered in me and in you. Now, the second interpretation of this parable is the other side of that coin. Christ is the treasure we discover in life. Now, a spiritual awakening is a wonderful thing. Many people stumble throughout their entire life, day in and day out, and never have an epiphany, a sudden awareness, an encounter with God, or a spiritual awakening of any kind. How sad is that? Given, I tell you the truth, it is rare. And it has to be discovered. It is a sudden discovery when it happens. When a light bulb goes on in your mind, your heart, and your spirit, and you realize, aha, what a treasure. And as we're living our life in this world, God makes himself available for us to discover him. It is a spiritual awakening. It is a life-changing event, just like the life was changed by that man who was working in the field and suddenly discovered a treasure that was so valuable. He said, this is worth everything I own. I'm going to get rid of everything else. I'm going to turn my back on everything else so that I can have this and this alone. Yes, Christ is our treasurer. No one ever says, I'm going to have a spiritual awakening 2 weeks from this coming Thursday. No. The best that will happen, if you're looking for it, are open to it, or can recognize it when you stumble over it, is that it's a pleasant and delightful surprise that catches you off guard. It will take your breath away when you realize the value of this treasure, Christ, and what he means for me and my life, not just my 100 years on earth, but forever and ever. When we're born again, when we discover this treasure for our own self, he promises us not life for 70 years or 80 years or 100 years, but he promises us life everlasting. Discovery. The concept of the kingdom coming to an individual. Now, some people don't see the treasure at first. They see it a little later. Jacob was that way. He was around it and didn't know it until he awoke from his sleep one morning and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." But when the last layer is discovered or uncovered, and you can see the treasure for what it is, it is life-changing. It is a spiritual awakening. It is an encounter with God. And maybe some stumbled into this place this morning, and everything about your day up to this point has been mechanical, just like every other Sunday or every other Easter Sunday. Just doing the motions, doing what you have to do in the natural, just routine mechanics, and all of a sudden, though, that last layer could be uncovered, and you will have an encounter, a discovery of such great treasure. You will see the value in Christ, our treasure in life. Now, as it was in this story that Jesus told, he stumbled over a treasure and immediately recognized the great value in it, and instantly went and sold everything and come back and bought that whole field. He didn't care about the field. He wanted what was in the field. Jesus paid the price for the whole world. He didn't care about the world. He could create another one with words. He cared about what was in the world. He cared about us. We were his treasure, and he is our treasure. Some of the greatest blessings in life require an instant decision. An instant decision. A couple of weeks ago, on a Monday morning early, Brenda and I left. We had a 3-day pastor's conference in Montreat, North Carolina, just a few miles from Billy Graham's home. Beautiful mountain country there. We, with a group of other pastors from around the country, got together for 3 days. Pastors and wives. It was intense. It was wonderful. Great fellowship. It was unforgettable. But on our way, we were just doing the mechanics. We wasn't totally thrilled about everything. Especially when we got there in the room. We had no microwave in our room, no television in our room, no coffee pot in our room, no refrigerator in our room, no Wi-Fi in our room. Not the coffee pot. Not the fridge. We brought our own coffee pot. But on our way there, here's my point. Some of the blessings in life require an instant decision. On our way there, we had gone through Columbia, gotten onto I-26, which would take us up to Asheville and beyond. Here we are going 70 miles an hour plus. Two lanes of traffic all going the same way. We're all headed west on I-26. And I noticed up ahead, cars were throwing on their brakes just and stopping. And I said, oh, you know, my first thought was, oh, we got road construction. And that's usually where there's miles of traffic blocked. And when you finally are able to creep by what they're doing, it's three men with their hands in their pockets. I thought, oh, Jesus, now we're going to be delayed. Or I thought, oh, maybe a bad wreck. I don't know what's... But all the cars are throwing on their brakes. And so we had no choice but to throw on our brakes and come to a standstill. And then we saw people getting out of their cars. I mean, car doors opening. And people getting up and running all up and down the road. And I thought, oh, my Lord, what is that? And I looked over on the side and cash money all over the highway. All over. $20 bills all over the interstate. And so I put my car in park. I made an instant decision. And I'm a little bit richer today because of it. All of the people were, just scrambling, picking up $20 bills. Every bill was a 20. There were no ones. There were no hundreds. They were all 20s. And so I'm reaching down, picking up. I did get some. I could have gotten a lot more, but there was such a spirit of greed on the interstate. Really. So after I picked up, a little, Brenda and I just stepped back and watched the people fight. They were just, I knew not to get into that fray, but as I look back on that now, I didn't even pray about it. I didn't ponder it. I didn't meditate much about it. I realized there's a treasure right here. And it required an instant decision. If I sit here and think about it for a while, the treasure will be gathered up by somebody else, and I will miss the treasure. So remember that truth, that sometimes a blessing will fall in your lap, but if you don't instantly act on it, it will be gone. And that was the urgency in the life of the man who was mechanically doing his job that day when all of a sudden he tripped over a treasure and he looked at it closely and he immediately said, "There is such value here, it's worth everything I own." And he quickly went and sold everything he had so that he could have what it took to buy the field for the treasure that was in it. An instant decision. The discovery for him was sudden. It was once in a lifetime. An unexpected discovery that radically changed his life. Now, he was one decision away from a totally different life. And so are many of you. Just one decision away from a totally different life. Immediately upon discovering that Christ is the treasure of your life, you have every right to begin saying right then, "I am immediately and permanently becoming a highly upgraded version of the man I used to be. In fact, so much so that I am a completely new creation now. Every old thing has passed away, and behold, now all things have become new for me." Now, some find it a sudden encounter, like this man who discovered the treasure hidden in a field. Others, like Jacob, you've been around it, you just didn't know the presence of God was with you all that time. And it's like an onion with layers. And one by one, the layers are uncovered or discovered. A treasure has to be discovered. It has been covered. It's been veiled. You were not aware of it. You couldn't see it clearly, but it has been uncovered or discovered layer by layer until finally that final layer is removed and the veil is completely gone and you can see the treasure clearly. It's a spiritual awakening. It is an encounter with the treasure of your life, and that is Christ. Now, I'm about to close, but I'd like to know everybody here, I hope. Would everybody here like to grow spiritually a little today? Really? Oh, and you're going to have to do better than that. Would everybody here like to grow spiritually a little bit today? Good. Then you're at the right place. Because getting from where we are to the treasure, and all of us are on that journey. Some of us have found the treasure, but are not fully aware of the value that we own, that has been given to us. And so it's almost like some of us are at a one. We're just taking baby steps in the things of the Spirit. I mean, we have been mechanical. Today you can go from a one to a two. I mean, that's a little growth. Nobody legally can leave here today exactly the same way you came in. You got to grow a little today. There's a treasure that comes with it. Some people in your search for God and an encounter with God and the treasure that's been hidden from you, which is Christ. Some of you are at a three. You can go from a three to a four. Some of you are at a seven. You can take one step, just one baby step of growth, and go from a seven to an eight today. And then there are some here today that are at a nine. And one step for you is you're crossing the line. You are in full discovery of the treasure now. It's one decision away from a totally different life. Everybody can take one step towards spiritual maturity today. One more step. Now, the Apostle Paul, in his BC days, was an Osama bin Laden. He was the terrorist that persecuted the Christians of his day. He was a Jew by birth and by birthright, but he was evil to his core. His name was Saul. And he had been granted legal written permission from the Roman government that gave him the authority that every time he saw a group of Christians worshiping Christ, he could kill them legally. He had that authority from the government. He had no idea what was about to happen to him on the road to Damascus. God revealed himself to him in a blinding light. It was a spiritual awakening for him. The light was so bright it knocked him off of his horse and it blinded him for 3 days. And he heard the voice of God clearly speak to him and give him instructions as to what to do next. That one experience of discovering the treasure that Christ was to Paul led him to eventually say in the New Testament, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss, just that I may know Christ. He had no idea. Wouldn't that be great if today is a day that catches you off guard? There is such a revelation of Christ made real to you that when you go to bed tonight, you will be able to lay your head on the pillow and say, when I woke up this morning, I had no idea this was my day. It could be so. And then, 500 years ago, a reformer for the church, Martin Luther, lived. He was a Catholic priest, and he was disgusted and frustrated at what he had seen transpire in organized religion of his day. Literally, religious leaders of his day were selling forgiveness. If you pay so much money, your sins would be forgiven. And he knew there was something not right about that. And it was against all the convention and the religion of his day. But he got into the Word of God for himself, searching for truth. And the treasure was discovered in Scripture when he read the verse of Scripture that said, the just shall live by faith. And when he read it, he wrote in the margin of his Bible beside that verse, two words, only faith. He had discovered the hidden treasure, that we're saved by faith, not by works. We cannot buy it. It's a free gift. We have to discover it. It is a hidden treasure until we discover it. And he discovered that hidden treasure, and his life and the life of the church as we know it was transformed from that day. Now, this is the day all of us grow a little. Now, Jesus has paid for your growth. He's paid for your sins to be forgiven. I sort of feel like you know that, or you wouldn't be here today. If you're here for any other reason, it's duty and religion, and you look good. That's about all you get. You look good. Dress up nice. That's all right. But I feel like you probably know enough of the truth that you're here for the right reason. The day that the world celebrates the single greatest event in the history of the world. The one single act by one single man that changed everything. That's why we now can be related to God. We can fellowship with God. The Spirit in me crying out to the Spirit in God. Deep calling to deep. You know what that's like. So I'd like for everybody to stand, if you would. Praise team, singers and band, if you will, come to the platform. Don't you believe he deserves another song of praise before we leave the place this morning? If you're willing to grow, take one step. Some of you going from a 2 to a 3, some from a 7 to an 8. Some of you going from a 9 where you've been on hold until you're crossing the line into the treasure this morning. Full and complete surrender. Pray this out loud after me. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for life. Thank you for abundant life. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for seeing value in me. For considering me a treasure. Thank you for paying such a price that you could possess me. And I confess my faith in your Son. I trust in the blood of Jesus to cleanse me from every sin. And I accept Jesus fully, completely as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Before the band cranks up, enjoy this video. Don't leave until it's over.
No other king could vanquish the warhorse or silence the warrior.